Well, it's probably working now, but. All right. Well, as I was saying, life can be discouraging, and it's important to have a friend during those difficult times, someone that can help you when you're in a difficult situation, someone who sends you a note, I'm thinking of you, or appreciate, just something to pick you up. And it makes a huge difference in your day in life. And I remember when I was pastoring in Whitewater, Kansas, it was a Saturday night, and you know, I heard the sirens, you know, going out somewhere, and I thought, that's interesting. I wonder who it is. Well, I got a phone call, and it turns out my good friend, I don't know if he's my best friend, my good friend, Jonathan, was in a farm accident. When I got there, he was pinned. When I got there, he was on the ground, and they were working on him. But when his son found him, the loader tractor had rolled up and had rolled down a slight incline, and we're talking a big case thing. And then he had his feed wagon and pinned him against. And his son, who found him, you know, his dad was still conscious, but when he released him, apparently that is what just his life, you know, he went unconscious, and he died there. And it was a difficult time. I remember it was just tough. But that Monday morning, I was just discouraged, and I thought, okay, we'll get through this. And I lost my friend, and then the widow, she had 7 kids, and they were all around watching. And it was really heartbreaking. And there was a knock on the door. And I went to the door and opened it. And it was my 2 friends. Now, they lived in another state, hundreds of miles away. And they said, we're here to just, we heard what happened and want to take you to breakfast. And the whole purpose of their coming and meeting and was to give me encouragement. And I just remember that as a time in my life where 2 dear brothers in Christ came, and they listened and they spoke words of encouragement. They are both pastors in Kansas City, but it was just a huge encouragement. And if it's safe to assume everyone around us, and you know, there aren't a lot of people here today, so we can talk about them.
Yes.
Let's do that.
They're not here.
But people need encouragement. People need to hear that it's going to be okay, or they can make it to the end, or especially this time of year. You read the statistics on suicide and things like that, depression, alcoholism. People are, it's a discouraging time of year for many people. So we want to find someone that we can be an encouragement to. And it may be someone who's lost their job. They just found out they don't have a job anymore, or they've been laid off, or someone has died, or they've been perhaps been told by a doctor, you know, you have maybe you've got cancer, you know, just a lot of things that come in and out of a life that we're dealing with, a loved one sick. But we can give courage, and we can give strength, and we can help them survive these challenging time. And it's probably how in this passage Paul's passengers felt on the ship after not just enduring a storm for a day, but weeks of enduring a storm at sea. And not only were they sick, not only had they not seen, the text says, the sun or the stars for many days, they lost all hope of being saved. They were despairing. And a lot of times people go through trials in life, they lose all hope. Not because of the difficulty they're going through, but they lose hope because the storm that's in and out of their life. It doesn't seem like it's going to end. And we can say a lot more about that. We understand that that comes through God's sovereign hand. He's the one who's going to determine how long a storm. In fact, there's a severe storm warning, I should tell you. We used to love the weather that, well, I should say I like the weather that we'd have in Kansas. Severe storm warning is in effect for Harvey County, and they go through all these things. Well, there's a severe storm warning in effect until eternity. That's a better way to understand the words of Christ. That there's, and Jesus said, it's interesting, when he told the parable of the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, he didn't say if a storm came, he said when the storm came. So there's storms rolling in and out of our lives and people's lives every day of the week, all the time. And it's difficult. But into this desperate, difficult time comes the words of the Apostle Paul. And we may ask the question, how do we receive God's encouragement when we're going through a trial, when we're going through a hardship, when we're going through a difficult time, when we're going through the storms of life? And I'll read this. That might be all I do this morning. But let me read chapter 27, verses 1 through 37. Now, when it was decided that we would sail for Italy, they proceeded to deliver Paul and some of the other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius. In getting aboard an Adramyttean ship, which is about to set sail to the regions along the coast of Asia, we set sail accompanied by Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica. The next day we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul with consideration and allowed him to go to his friends and receive care. And from there we set sail and sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were against us. And when we had sailed through the sea along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra in Lycia. There, the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy, and he put us aboard it. And when we had sailed slowly for a good many days, and with difficulty had arrived off Cnidus, since the wind did not permit us to go farther, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salmone, and with difficulty we sailed past it and came to a place called Fair Havens, near which was the city of Lasea. And when considerable time had passed, and the voyage was now dangerous, since even the fast was already over, Paul began to advise him and say to them, "Men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion was being more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than by what was being said by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable for wintering, the majority reached a decision to set sail from there. If somehow they could arrive at Phoenix, a harbor of Crete facing southwest and northwest, to spend the winter there. And when a moderate south wind came up, thinking they had attained their purpose, they weighed anchor and began sailing along the shore of Crete. But before long, there rushed down from the land a violent wind called Uruquillo. And when the ship was caught in it and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and let ourselves be carried along. And running under the shelter of a small island called Claudia, we were scarcely able to get the ship's boat under control. And after they had hoisted it up, they used supporting cables and undergirding the ship, fearing that they might run aground on the shallows of Cyrtus. They let down the sea anchor, and in this way let themselves be carried along. And the next day, as we were being violently storm-tossed, they began to jettison the cargo. And on the third day, they cast the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. And since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us, from then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. And when they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in their midst and said, "Men, you ought to have followed my advice not to set sail from Crete and to avoid this damage and loss. And now I advise you to be cheerful, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night an angel of God, to whom I belong and to whom I serve, stood before me, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, be cheerful, men, for I believe that God, it will turn out exactly as I've been told. But we must run aground on some island.' But when the 14th night came, as we were being carried about in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors began to suspect that some land was approaching them. And when they took soundings, they found it to be 20 fathoms, and a little further, they took the sounding and found it to be 15 fathoms. And fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks, they cast four anchors from the stern and were praying for daybreak. But as the sailors were trying to escape from the ship and had let down the ship's boat into the sea, on the pretense of intending to lay out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, 'Unless these men remain in the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's bow and let it fall away. Until the day was about to dawn, Paul was encouraging them all to take some food, saying, 'Today is the 14th day that you have been constantly watching and going without eating, having taken nothing. Therefore, I encourage you to take some food, for this is your salvation. For not a hair from the head of any of you will perish.' And having said these things, he took bread and he gave thanks to God in the presence of all. And he broke it and began to eat. And all of them became cheerful. And they themselves also took food. And all of us in the ship were 276 persons. Wow. And when they had eaten, though, they began to lighten the ship by throwing out the wheat into the sea." I'll stop there. In verse 22, he encourages everyone, encourages them to keep up their courage. He promises them that there will be no loss of life among them. Again, verse 25, he says, "Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I've been told." Yet in verse 33, we read that Paul was encouraging them to take some food. And the result was, in verse 36, all of them became cheerful, or they were encouraged. Now, who were these men? You're kind of struck with 200. This is no little boat. This probably was a fairly large vessel in the ancient Near East that they would sail on. But 276 people, 276 souls saved, some undoubtedly, Paul and his companions, unsaved. Many of them did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who don't know Christ, thought about this, they need encouragement too. Paul describes them as having no hope and without God in the world in Ephesians chapter 2. They need hope, and they need only the hope that Christ can give. And we know that as God's people, we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we need encouragement. We also need hope. And you think about the strategies of Satan. What'd he do? Encouragement. I think I preached on that once here. Maybe I didn't. Maybe it wasn't here. But he wants to, if he's got a believer discouraged, if he can discourage us, in the book Strategy of Satan by Warren Wiersbe, realizes that's a tool of Satan, discouragement. He wants to keep you discouraged. He wants you to give up. If you're in ministry of any kind, he wants you to drop out of ministry. And we all need encouragement. So the Apostle Paul, through his actions, shows us first how to receive encouragement from the Lord Jesus Christ during a trial, and then how to pass on that encouragement to those around us that desperately need to be encouraged. Now, Paul, you might think, well, Paul, he's kind of upbeat. You know who the encouragers are. You meet people, oh yeah, sure, they can give encouragement. They're upbeat. They're bouncing off everything. But that wasn't the Apostle Paul. When you read about him, and we don't have time to turn there, but 1 Corinthians 11, or no, where's this at? I don't know where it's at. But he says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even to life." That means he was certainly probably very discouraged. And Luke, he records these words for us. In verse 20, he implied that Paul, Aristarchus, and Luke, they felt the same as everyone else. They weren't immune from discouragement. They were all discouraged. And imagine after I just read that every time I read that, 2 weeks not being able to see that means it was probably very overcast and dark during the day, very dark at night, and they're being tossed around in the ship. And that must have been quite a storm in the Mediterranean. But they think it's the end. And this reinforced by the angel's words to Paul in verse 24. What does he say? Do not be afraid. If Paul had not been discouraged and afraid, he wouldn't have needed that encouraging word. So he was fearful. He wouldn't have need it. But he passed that on. He took his experience that he received encouragement, this in this case the angel of the Lord, and he passed it on to others. So and it's important, and maybe I can say here now, it's important for us to be in the Word, getting our encouragement. That's why all of Scripture's is, we know that 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed, it's profitable for these things, but the Old Testament, the New, they're extremely, extremely important. Romans 15, verse 4 says, "But whatever things were written aforetime," it says these things that were written for our encouragement and our hope, perseverance. these stories of men of faith who struggled and they failed, but they found forgiveness, and all of those things are meant to encourage us. So we need to experience God's encouragement. So how do we receive God's encouragement? And I've got by being with his people. I can't write or write in front of other people whenever I like.
I can read it.
Probably teachers, they've done that quite a bit. But by being with God's people, and Paul, he didn't have to face this trip he was on alone, did he? He was accompanied by Aristarchus, who it says was a Macedonian of Thessalonica, and he was with Luke, who was the beloved physician. And some historians have argued that in order to accompany the Apostle Paul on a trip like this as a prison, they would have to get permission to do so. But if they were to accompany on him, they had to be Paul's servants or slaves. And Aristarchus was one of Paul's, you can read about him in the New Testament, but he's one of Paul's traveling companions. He'd been caught up in the theater riot in Acts 19. We're coming to that in our study, if you're part of that. He accompanied Paul on his journeys through the region he was in. Later, he went he was Paul's fellow prisoner, if you remember, in the prison epistles, in the book of Colossians. He was a fellow prisoner, and he was a faithful young man who was willing to stay by Paul, was willing to go to prison with him, and that would be encouraging to have a co-worker, a fellow worker, a loyal friend. Philemon 24 says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. So as the ship set sail for Rome, it put into port at Sidon, and there the centurion allowed Paul to visit his friends and receive care in verse 3. And we often think of Paul giving care to others, but he also needed to receive care. In 1 Corinthians 12, he taught that we're all part of the body of Christ. Each member both gives and receives from other members in order for it to function properly, but from what each joint supplies. Hebrews 10:25 tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but rather to consider how we can, and really the word is, I think, how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. I told someone, what are you going to do this one? Well, we're going to give everyone a shot, you know, okay. Give them a shot right in the arm. And they're like, I don't know, that doesn't sound too good. But, it, you know, you receive encouragement. Encouragement is a little bit like, well, maybe EpiPen or something you put in, going to die. But you receive that, you're encouraged. That is a blessing, how you shared your testimony with the rest of us, or how you testified to how God's working in your life, or how good he's been, or an answer to prayer, or just simply by being here, you are encouraging someone else. You can bless other people by just simply showing up. And so we receive encouragement by being with God's people. And, you know, that makes me think, you know, have I committed myself to being here? You know, it sounds kind of, but have I made a commitment to be, and obviously you're here, you've made a commitment, but it's important that we model and we demonstrate, not browbeat people or say, you know, browbeat people, but that it's important that I'm here. It's important that I not only be in a place where I can receive a word from the Lord, but I can bless someone else. That's good. So that's very important for our spiritual development. And there's a second way. Oh. By remembering his presence with us. In this case, it wasn't the Lord himself who appeared to the Apostle Paul. It says in verse 11, but his, it was verse chapter 23 and verse 11. In that case, it was the Lord. And he says, we don't have time to turn there, but the Lord stood with him. He was God's personal presence. But here is an angel in verse 23. The angel reminded Paul that God was with him. He's always aware of the trials that he is going through. And we know from the Great Commission, it states that that if you don't fly in an airplane, that if lo, I'm with you always, is a promise of God. So, no, I heard someone was once, he had his AMP, and he didn't fly, and he said, well, I took that verse seriously, and he didn't get his pilot's license, missionary pilot. But no, God, behold, I'm with you always, even in the age. And Paul experiences the reality of that promise. And it's a, you know, awesome privilege, and it's a blessing. But Jesus said he would never leave us nor forsake us. A verse I like a lot of, Hebrews chapter 13, I think it's verse 5, but it says, make sure your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? And Paul had experienced the Lord's presence when he was afraid at Corinth. God promised in Acts 18, verses 9-10, I am with you. He experienced it when he was in custody in Jerusalem, and the Lord stood at his side and said, take courage, and promised that he would bear witness for him in Rome. And then he later experienced God's encouragement during his final imprisonment in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He told Timothy that no one supported him, but all had deserted him. And then he added, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And each of these experiences came at times when Paul had a crisis in his life. And maybe you felt that. There are times when, humanly speaking, you should be a basket case, but you know that, you know, the Lord gave you strength through that situation, that trial, that difficulty. He did, and God floods you with encouragement. The verse that comes to mind, 1 or no, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, let your thanksgiving, or excuse me, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses for all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And we have this promise, and certainly that should give us great encouragement. So there's two ways that we can receive God's encouragement when we are going through a difficult time. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the encouragement that it does give to us. And thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that this time of year, Lord, we know you. And it's just a blessing to be rightly related to the King of all creation. Lord, help us to be faithful in telling others about this so great a salvation that we received. And Lord, give us a good day. We pray that we would be lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ and exalting him in the service to follow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.